Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
3 o'clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, a little Daily Gambit come your way. Did not get to participate in this Daily Gambit. And it's a good thing, because I would have lost probably all of these bets that are up here.
We made a lot of them, actually.
You guys did. I'm looking at that.
We had a busy Friday in the betting department, and, you know, we'll see how we did. I did go with the Lakers Friday night, and
yeah,
I would have. I'll tell you another thing. I would have definitely gone with them yesterday.
Yeah.
I did not see them losing both those games. But we'll talk about this, Tony, because I have to ask you later.
Yeah.
But your guy, J.J. Redick, is getting
scorched. Is he getting hammered?
All over the place for his decision not to go to the bench at all in the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's taking a beating for this, and I think it's a little Monday morning quarterbacking, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get into it
in the next
bit.
Segment. Let's do this first, Scrabe. What do you think, huh?
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Let's start with that Lakers game at Minnesota on Friday night. Chris chose Lakers. I chose Soda. -3.5, the T-Wolves were. And they won by 12, 116-104.
Yes, it was so tied with, like, 3 minutes ago.
Oh.
And didn't finish for the Lakers.
You know what?
That's what we're going to talk about with Tony and the...
You know what I keep doing with the NBA playoffs? I turn it on, I see that it's a close game, and then it goes to commercial, and I turn it off, and then I forget that it's there.
Don't forget that three-pointers can change the score quickly.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Yeah. All right. Lakers-Minnesota, total score over under 207.5 points on Friday. Chris went over, I went under, and since it was 116-104, it was 220?
I don't know. I like to hear you try to add stuff.
No, 220. Yeah, 220.
You got it.
Even though I said 230 on the sheet. 220.
His early math wasn't as good. That's why he had to redo it live.
Yes, it's true. It's true. Boston -5 over Orlando Friday. Chris chose Boston. I chose Orlando. The Magic did win, and they won by 2, so I win that one. Bucks -5.5 against Indiana Friday. We both chose the Bucks, and the Bucks took care of business, 117-101. Now, who scored more in their games on Friday, Giannis or Luka? Chris went Giannis. I went Luka. Luka had 17 points, so not a great show.
Stomach bug.
He was
that
sick.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those bets that if you knew he was sick, you would want to get on that one.
For sure.
I remember as a kid Steve Young playing a game where he was throwing up in between plays. I have no idea how you play when you're that sick.
Yeah, you know, you tried to get me in trouble last week. Remember you were asking me about somebody being hurt or are they playing the lineup today? I'm like, you know, I can't give you that kind of information when you're talking about betting.
It was Jackson Merrill.
That's who it was. That's right.
There's only one.
It's like, do you hear anything about Jackson Merrill coming back today?
I hear no evil, see no evil.
There's only one player that I know that's ever been incredible when they were sick, and that was the Jordan flu game.
Yes.
Yeah, that was crazy.
He started making everybody think that you could actually perform really well.
A lot of guys tried it after that.
It just hasn't worked out for everybody.
Well, we all know the pizza place poisoned that pizza.
Maybe they probably did.
They might
they
have.
Probably did.
Cost them the
just
series.
Like someone in Dallas probably poisoned my man Luca for that last game. Or not Dallas. And where they play? Minnesota.
Minnesota. So Giannis had 37 points, and if you take his 3-point spread, then 34, he doubled what Luka had.
Right.
Reds, -1.5 at the Rockies on Friday night. Both of us chose the Reds. I said, I can't keep picking the Rocks. Well, the Rocks lost, but they covered the spread. Reds won 8-7.
It was the only game they were within a run all weekend. So you would have won 2 out of 3 betting against them, and I think you will continue to do that all year.
Padres Rays total score on Friday, over under 7 runs. Both Chris and I said under. I don't think we thought it was going to be a 1-0 win for the Rays on Friday, but score is way under, so we win the bet. Yeah. Who had more strikeouts Friday night? Paul Skeens against the Dodgers or Michael King?
Skeens was cutting.
He
I
was.
Think they both had 9 though.
Did they?
They did.
Yeah.
So we pushed on that one. They both had 9.
Both had 9.
Edmonton -1.5.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Since Skeens came up at. No negativity for Skeens on this go-round?
I have come around on...
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have, because I've been watching Paul Skeens pitch, and I like watching him pitch.
Did you watch him pitch against the Dodgers?
I watch highlights. I didn't watch it live.
Do you know that the Padres miss him again this coming weekend? It'll be the third Pittsburgh series since he's been on the team that they've missed him.
I'm not going to lie. Not mad at it.
No. It's very good luck.
Especially if he's going to look the way he looked against the Dodgers when he was...
He was dominant.
I almost forgot I was on radio, but he
was dominant.
He was killing him.
Yeah, he was. He was.
I think we can say he was shoving.
Hey, I don't know if it would have came
you
out right.
That
SH is just dangerous right now when I'm sick. So
yeah,
let's go ahead. Okay. Let's move forward.
Yes. But yeah, Paul Skeens is great. I mean, the media just covers him in a way I hate. Edmonton, I don't even remember who they played, but we both chose
Kings.
The Oilers -1.5. Edmonton won 7-4.
What's the series at now?
2-2, unfortunately.
Oh,
the
wow, Kings, they won 2 straight, huh?
The Kings blew both games. They
I
led
was about
by,
to say, they were up the last one I was just
they
watching.
They were up by a goal Friday night. They gave up 4 goals in the last 6 minutes.
Yowzers.
And last night they gave up a goal with 28 seconds left and lost in overtime.
This tough, hour at 97.3, the fan... It's brought to you by Robert Half. At Robert Half, we found that 67% of companies want to increase contract talent. That's why our recruiters' expertise and award-winning AI work quickly to find the skilled candidates you want. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Take it away, Chris.
Don't forget to keep listening for the Tony Gwynn Sr. historic radio call by Uncle Teddy.
Correct.
When you hear it, call in to try to win tickets to tomorrow night's game. All right, here we go for tonight's gambits. Cleveland Cavs looking to close out Miami, up 3-0. At Miami, Cleveland still favored by 8.5. I would say that's because they beat them by 37 in the last game.
Yeah.
How do you feel if you're Tyler Hero and before that third game you said, well, that guy can't play much defense, Garland. He's not very good. Okay, well, didn't work out.
That's
you, Tyler, did it.
You know, to be fair, Tyler's point is accurate. Garland doesn't play any defense either.
Well, he might be right, but
he got some protection behind him, and I don't think you're being protected the same way.
Not quite.
And they are just attacking you.
Hero's defense is not working either. Who are you picking here, Tony? I'll let you go first. The Cleveland -8.5.
I'm going Cleveland.
Cleveland to run away and
Cleveland
wrap it up.
This is for you, Scraby.
We got Rob Manfred running in the studio. I'm going to go Cavs.
All right, I say the Heat. I just believe too much in Eric Spoelstra. Won't let his team get blown out in the last game. 211 points is the over-under for this. 211 over-under. Scrape, who you got?
I feel like they're going to score a lot, so I'm going to go over.
Over. Well, we just discussed nobody plays defense on either side, so I'll go over. Tony, 211.
Oof, over.
Over, over, over. Golden State minus -4 against Houston tonight. Warriors lead the series 2-1. Dylan the Villain fouled out of Game 3, and that was pretty much all she wrote once he did. Draymond Green continues to dominate these games, Tony, on defense.
Yeah, he does.
And it's laughable to me that people don't recognize how good he is. People just want to talk about all his crazy stuff. It is crazy. There's no question. But when he puts his mind to it and plays defense, he's wrecking everything Houston's trying to do. And Jimmy Butler is very possibly going to be back
for the
game tonight. So I will take the Warriors over the talented Rockets.
You know it's bad when it was Jalen Green after the game was asked about Draymond and he proceeded to say he can't do anything but, you know, kind of the antics.
Oh, yeah.
You're missing the point.
You are.
Because, yes, he doesn't score at all, but everything that you're trying to do offensively, he's affecting.
He's wrecking it for you. And after the game, Jalen Green tried to get into it.
Yeah. He was in his
zone. With Draymond Green, and I'm like, you're just, you know,
you're
this
playing
is not
right
the guy
into
to go
your,
to.
Yeah, you're playing right into his. He knows he got you now.
Yes, he does. Tony, I guess you'll take the Warriors after that discussion.
Me Scraby. Too. Me too.
Also the Warriors. Donovan Mitchell, minus -1 point, or the aforementioned Tyler Hero, most points scored tonight, Tony. Donovan in the closeout game or Tyler Hero trying to play hero? Keep Miami alive. Who scores
more? I can see Tyler being the head scorer on here, and they still lose.
Okay. It's Gravy.
I've never seen anyone ever do that. Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell. I think Tony's right. I mean, Hero is the only thing Miami has hope for. This is old news, but there was a game about 3 weeks ago. Did you see it, Tony? Heat was down by 4 late in the game. Hero stole the ball, ran unguarded down the court, and stopped at the three-point line and shot a 3.
Of course he did.
And he missed it, and he took a lot of criticism for it. But in this day and age, it wasn't that terrible of a play,
maybe. I literally see it every game. Somebody 3-on-1 break, pull up from the 3.
Yeah. Steph, 4.5 threes. Speaking of that, over, under. I think he had 4 the last game. He is unbelievable.
He's
unbelievable. Because the threes that he makes are, they shouldn't even get to the rim, let alone go in every time.
They just showed a guy on TV, sorry, that we're watching the Mets and the Nationals.
Jose!
Oh, Azokar's up to bat.
Azokar got in there.
Anyway, huh? A Mets fan, they just plunked Lindor, and a Mets fan, they just caught him on TV going double bird.
Of course they did. They don't know how to do it any other way.
I'm going to go over.
Over, Steph, 4.5. It's hard to bet him under. I got to bet over. Tony?
Over.
Over, over, over. We have time for 2 more. Florida Panthers, defending cup champs, are up 2-1. They're home for game 4. Minus -1.5 against Tampa Bay, the Battle of Florida. Tampa Bay won the last game at Florida. They won't win this one. I'll take Florida. Tony?
Florida.
Florida, Florida. Scrape.
Flaw.
And then we put this in every day because I think it's automatic. Braves are minus -1.5 at the Rockies.
Oh, yeah, it is on.
Take Atlanta. I mean,
Braves, baby.
I mean, the Rockies maybe will lose by a run, but I know they're not going to win.
I'm going to with the Rocks.
You're crazy. Colorado's 4-23. That's not good. Let me just put that in perspective for those of you. 27 games is exactly 1/6 of the season. Rockies have 4 wins times 6. They're on pace for 24 wins.
Yowzers.
It's a lot.
No, it's not.
For them. For them.
No, it's not a lot for anybody.
Okay. What are the odds that the worst record of all time is set in back-to-back years?
Well, it's looking pretty good, actually, at this point.
We're heading that direction.
Yes, we are.
All right, let's get to break on the other side. A little
Lakers.
Basketball. my Lakers in some trouble. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I saw this story fly across the wire today. A couple of talk show hosts in Buffalo were interviewing the Bills GM after the draft. But I guess just prior to him coming on, they were very critical of him for not drafting any wide receivers for like the umpteenth year in a row. I guess Buffalo doesn't load up on wide receivers.
They're like Green Bay until this year.
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw, Green Bay made their pick, and the fans like were like, yeah!
Thank you!
We took a wide receiver!
Yes. Anyway, this general manager was listening before he came on.
I love it. That's
and
even better.
They brought him on, and he said, you know, before we start, like a 10-minute thing, and just ripped these guys.
Good.
And basically said, what are you complaining about? Our offense was the best in the league last year. We have Josh Allen throwing touchdown passes to whoever is wide receiver.
Right.
We need a defense to improve, et cetera. He went on and on. He really ripped on these kids. Anyway, I don't feel terrible for these kids. You know why? It's the top story on my ESPN.com sports feed today.
Let me pull mine's up.
Right? I mean, these guys are getting all kinds of attention for the wrong reasons, but they're getting attention for upsetting him. I bring this up.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 story down on the top
six
story.
For you,
yeah.
But earlier today, it was getting the treatment at the top. I bring this up because we got the manager's report coming up on Friday at 9 a.m. with Ben and Woods. Now, Mike Schilt would never do that to Ben and Woods. But I'm just throwing it out there. They lose a couple more games. It could be a contentious interview.
Don't miss it. I'll tell you this. If any of us, me, you, Ben Woods, Braden,
right.
If he was coming on one of the shows and we was popping off before he came on it, you could bet your bottom dollar he would definitely.
He'd comment.
Definitely.
It's a very strange thing to talk
really
about the guy
is.
While he's on hold.
It doesn't seem
at
to make sense.
At least do it until he calls in.
I didn't say they talked to him on hold.
He was just
before
listening.
He came on. He was listening to the show.
In which a lot of guests do.
Why wouldn't you?
That's why you got to spread out your trash talk.
Yeah, I guess so. They clearly didn't do a good job of it.
Yes, the manager's report with Mike Schilt Friday at 9 a.m. is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. That's 9 a.m. Friday, where the Mike Schilt managers report. All right, here's a couple things for you, Tony, and then I'll turn it over to you on your Lakers. Obviously, they fell in Game 3, Game 4. J.J. Redick is, honestly, he's taking a lot of it from all corners today because he did not sub in the second half at all yesterday in Game 4. People are pointing out, you had a Sunday game following a Friday night game. You have LeBron, who's 40. You had Luka, who's been sick. They both played 46 minutes. Did they run out of gas? They say no. The final score of the game maybe indicates that they did. Over the final 4 minutes of the game, Minnesota overcame a 7-point deficit. They outscored the Lakers 19-9. Luka was 1-for-6 in the fourth quarter. LeBron was 0-for-2 and did not score in the fourth quarter. This came on the heels of Game 3 when over the last 4:19, Minnesota outscored the Lakers 13-1. So did J.J. Redick blow it for the Lakers, Tony? Or is this the old Monday morning quarterbacking? Now that they've lost the game, you got to find a scapegoat.
I feel like those who are upset about the result have not watched the series at all. Okay. I'm just going to go through the bench points for the Lakers through this game. Game one, they lose 117-95. Connect has 5 points. Vincent has 3. Vanderbilt 2. Finney-Smith 3. If for those who can't add like myself,
13.
That's 13 points.
Right.
Not good.
Not
and
many.
By the way, Connect got his 5 in like garbage time.
Right, after it was...
So you really could say 8. They had 8 points.
Yeah.
Let's go to game 2 on here. Lakers won game 2. And so you probably expect their bench to have fared a little bit better. Don't think too quick.
It didn't do much.
Also 13 points in game 2.
Okay.
Two guys. Finney-Smith had 7. Vincent had 6.
The rest had bumpkins.
0.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to, what do you think, game 3?
Yeah.
A 116-104 win by the Timberwolves. We rolled through the bench. We got 8 from Finney-Smith, 3 from Vanderbilt, 5 from Vincent, 3 from Goodwin.
Wow, so we've, 19.
We've upped up, we've upped the points to 19.
Yeah.
All right, so we move to the final game, a 116-113 loss to the T-Wolves, and you had 6 points total.
And now, that was Finney-Smith in 41 minutes.
41 minutes. Yeah. He got 6.
Yeah.
So
what you're saying is that J.J. had very little options.
J.J. said, you know what? The bench isn't working. I'm going to stick with the guys that got me here. Now, listen, maybe they ran out of gas. Maybe they didn't. I watched that last. I didn't think they ran out of gas. I think they had some. They didn't execute well offensively. They gave up some stupid fouls at the end.
Okay.
I mean, the N1 that Edwards got on a dunk, he's literally already there. Let him score the 2 points.
Let him dunk it, yes.
Don't give him the free throw. That gave them the 1 point lead at the time. They would end up getting another one. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with JJ rolling with it. He tried something different. I'd have been more irritated if he kept putting the bench guys in and we got the same exact results that we got every game in the series so far.
Their bench has been getting destroyed.
Destroyed.
And the reason is because they're not doing much, and Minnesota's is just really good. Reed is one of the best in the league. He was sixth man of the year last year. Secondly, in defense of the Lakers, and I don't often do this in favor of the Lakers, but the refs blew a huge call in this game.
Yes, they did.
It was a huge call. Minnesota was up by 1. The Lakers had the ball. Luka's dribbling up the floor. He gets tripped.
Literally tripped.
Literally tripped and falls down. No call. He has to call timeout because he's still in the backcourt, but he's now on the floor. When they come out of the timeout, now the Lakers only have 1 second to get it over the timeline, and predictably the pass gets intercepted. Now people want to blame LeBron for that pass. He had no choice.
He had
only 1 second to get it inbounds.
Right.
If they call the foul as they should have, Luka goes to the line because they're in the penalty. He shoots both, probably makes them both, and the Lakers take the lead. Now, how would the game have turned out from there?
I don't know.
But you can't miss that call. And had they won, J.J. Redick would have been the genius for doing what he did. So I think people are being way too critical. They're picking on the old low-hanging fruit.
That's exactly what it is, and that's the kind of ideal in today's day and age. Pick the easiest argument you can find. Yeah. Here's the other thing. Dang it.
After that, LeBron's foul or no? Because that one they at first called no foul.
Yeah, that was
gave the ball to the Lakers. And then they overturned that one.
I hate that call, but it is what it is.
Right.
It'll have to come back to me. I can't remember what it was I was going to say about this particular series. It wasn't a series. It's okay. So along those lines, not missing those calls.
Yeah, can't miss that one.
They missed one in the Knicks-Detroit series.
Yes, they did.
And then 40 minutes later, they release a statement saying that they missed the call. And it was funny. It set the TNT panel off. Charles and
Were they Shaq, mad that they announced
they
it?
They were mad that they announced it. At this point, That doesn't do anything but piss me off even more.
Yeah, why are you announcing?
Now, Kenny Smith is making a point. Well, it shows that they are
accountable.
Accountable.
No, it's not showing that. It's showing that they're blowing these games.
Right.
The Nick Detroit game is exactly just the Hardaway was fouled on a 3-point shot.
Clearly.
Down by 1 point.
Yeah.
Clearly fouled, and they looked at it later and said it was clearly a foul. He would have had 3 free throws with no time left. All he would have to do is make 2, and the series is tied at 2. Instead, they're down 1-3. This is a series-changing miss. And you know me, I like to stick up for the refs. You guys are NBA refs. You can't miss this stuff. Not when it's that crucial.
Yeah.
I say. But the Lakers are, they're in trouble because the Minnesota bench is crushing them. They might be in trouble because Minnesota's young and talented. But I still think, you know, Luke and LeBron now can relax, hopefully get healthier. They can still win this thing. It's not out of the woods to me. I was surprised to see them lose both games, honestly.
I was too. This is not a done deal by any means. I don't think they got a game at home. They got to win that one. They take care of that one first. Then it gets interesting because if you can find a way to win the Minnesota, you can flip this
series.
You're
back home.
There's actually you win in LA. The pressure now goes back on Minnesota because they don't want to have to get on the plane and come back to LA. So they're gonna want to finish Game 6, but first got to win Game 5.
All right. And we know in Game 6 the refs will cheat for them, right, Scraby? It go 7?
Hey,
of course.
Please, by all means, cheat for us. I'm taking
You'll
all cheats.
You'll accept that
yes.
at this point.
I mean,
you got to make sure that the TV partners get what they pay for, right?
Am I right?
All right. We'll take a break from this NBA talk. We'll give the Padres a rest for a little while. Our good friend Mark Ziegler joins us when we come back on Gwen and Chris.
3:35 on the clock. Tony Quinn, Junior, Chris.
See what
Ella.
You miss when you're traveling with the,
I do
with the
miss,
Padres?
I do miss the quirkiness of,
yes,
of
you miss
Matt Scraby.
All this stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the guy who won the Eliminator belt.
All right, here we go.
This is what we've been talking
here
about.
Here we go.
All
the Eliminator belt, which was, to remind people.
Yes, it was a season-long competition, Survivor-type pick'em for the NFL.
Right.
We did it for a lot of listeners. There were a ton of people that signed up. We said we're going to give someone a championship belt. We have the championship belt. The person who won never, ever contacted me back to
she didn't
claim
know who to
belt.
Give the belt to. Right.
So I was looking for this person. Well, like middle of last week, I log onto Twitter and I just see someone go, "Give me my belt." And I click, and it was in reply to a tweet from like 4 months ago. This person lives in Philly. They just signed up for random contests on the internet, and they have won. So now this person is bugging me in the DMs to send him his belt. And I keep saying...
By bugging you, do you mean that he replied from a four-month thing, or is he like,
no,
after he replied...
Because after I saw it, I went to the DMs, I said, "Hey, we've been looking for you for 3 months." And he was like, "I live in Philly." And then I didn't get back to him for a day. He messages me, "Haven't heard back from you."
Yeah, where's my belt?
Where's his belt, man? He won.
I got to figure out if...
the
I'm
champ
paying,
is here!
I'm not paying for the shipping
would
charges.
Would you have been mad if he would have texted you or emailed you, "The champ is here"?
I guess I would, but I shouldn't be because I yell that all the time myself.
Do. You do.
But now he's DMing me telling me he wants pictures of the belt before we send it.
Well, listen.
So
maybe he doesn't want to accept the belt?
Maybe. Then you don't have to send it to him. You'd be a win-win for you. Send him a picture. You might get yourself out of having to send it to him.
Daily gripe early. People who sign up for random contests all over the country and then write, "Give me my belt," 4 months later.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've noticed, but Matthew Scraby takes everything personal.
Pretty much.
He took it as a personal shot, as if he's telling Scraby, "Hey, man, I've been waiting on my belt for 3 months. Why aren't you got it to me?"
That's kind of the vibe I get.
That's how Scraby heard, "Give me my belt."
He's a Philly guy. He's an Eagles fan. His profile picture has an eagle.
You are
the guy
uniform.
Went through the whole season, picked a winner every week. Give the guy his due.
Hey, I am
I
not
would
arguing.
Be talking like that too. Give me my belt.
I am not arguing. I just never thought we were going to have to send it to Philadelphia. No. I didn't know that people in Philadelphia were even seeing this tweet.
Hey. We could make you drive it to Philadelphia.
Hey, I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll ship it myself. Anyway.
If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit SpirosCuisine.com. Mark Ziegler will join us here shortly. to talk a little Aztec basketball. Things are looking a little brighter these days than perhaps when the season ended.
Everybody's excited about 6 months from now, for sure.
Seems
like it's been a good off season.
Let's bring our friend on, Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing good. Talking a little Aztec basketball. Magoon Guaf, went through some of the kind of the rigors of perhaps getting in the draft, decided against it. He's coming back to San Diego State. He also had knee surgery recently. Can you tell us a little bit about the return and the knee surgery?
Well, not a lot of details out. Confirmed on the knee surgery, just that he had it. It was arthroscopic, and they expect him to be ready for the season. And, you know, I kind of pieced together what I knew and what was sort of announced and not announced after he first hurt the knee. And my sense is that it was PCL surgery and that it was what they call an augmented repair, which is where they attach like a piece of suture tape to the ligament to sort of strengthen it, and also it heals quicker than if you do a full reconstruction. And obviously he didn't rupture the ligament, because when he hurt it against Utah State on February 22nd, I mean, he would have been out from that day forward, and he wasn't. And so I think that's what they did. And, you know, I can't get a real read on how long it's going to be. I've heard some people say 6 months. I've heard others say, nah, it's more like five if the surgery goes well. And so that puts him anywhere from 6 to 2 weeks out from the season. So I have a sense he's going to have enough time to get ready. I think just what he's going to miss is some of the off-season stuff, which really starts for them in July. It goes through the month of July, a little bit into August. They get a little bit of a break, and they come back in month of September. So let's say it's two and a half months of workouts he'll miss. But other than that, I think he should be back. So I guess that's the best news of the whole thing.
Yeah, I can confirm he's on campus. I bumped in. I didn't actually make contact with him.
Oh, good.
I bumped into him.
Star player.
I stayed clear, but I did see him on campus a couple last week or so. Mark, just through the entire offseason, people are very excited by what you've been writing and what they've been doing. And, you know, you look, if Miles Byrd ends up coming back, and I think that's still up for grabs, but, you know, to have him back, B.J. Davis, Taj DeGorville, the addition of Reese Waters, I think we can't forget about that, Farrell Compton, Magoon, Miles Heidi, that is if they didn't add anybody, but they have added people. Talk about where they've filled in, and should we be as excited as we are?
Yeah, what they did is they added people very strategically. They went out and got you know, three transfers that really addressed needs. The number one need, obviously, when Nick Boyd left was point guard. They got Sean Newman Jr., who a kid from the LA area. He played a couple years at Fullerton, but he was really kind of his JC coach, Perry Webster, called him a COVID kid. And he is one of those kids who just slips through the cracks, right? We can't go out and see him play. His high school season's kind of shortened. We can't go see him in, you know, there's a lot of spring evaluation AAU games and tournaments for unsigned seniors, maybe late bloomers. That all got wiped out. And he just heard about him and took him, and then he got to Fullerton, and then their whole season got wiped out by COVID. And then next year he hurt his knee. So he was really under the radar, and you know, he's been working his way through JC and then Louisiana Tech, number three in the country in assists per game at 7.9, pass first, exactly what they needed. I think late in the season, you know, while Nick Boyd was a point guard in name, he also started, maybe because he recognized they needed more scoring, he was looking for his shot more than he was looking for the pass. There were some guys open, he didn't pass, he elected to shoot, and I, you know, can't dispute that they needed scoring, but this is a guy who's been looking the pass, and they have so many weapons now, particularly if Bird comes back. But you mentioned Reese Waters, you know, the second half of the season, Magoon Guaf, he's really, really, I think it's, I want to say upgrade, because, you know, some players are better in one area than another, but in terms of the pass first mentality and what this team needs, he's an upgrade in that area. And then they got Jeremiah Oden, who, you know, people are going to sleep on and just think, well, he'd just be a backup to Magoon, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a guy who, in a limited role, did a lot of really, really good things at Wyoming. He can shoot the three, he can drive. He's 6'9". He can play the three if you need him to. He's long, athletic, and he's a sixth-year senior. He'll bring that veteran leadership and experience that they were lacking last season. Same with Sean Newman. And then the other guy, Latrell Davis from San Jose State, they went and got as kind of a cover, I think, in case Bird does go pro. I mean, he can slot, plug and play right into that position. Probably a better offensive player than Bird, to be honest, right now. A better shooter, better scorer. Doesn't give you the defensive length and athleticism. But, man, great kid. He's from England. And I think huge addition to what they have. So, they really nailed everything in terms of getting players back and then adding pieces they needed.
Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union Tribune. And Zieg, just a random question. I thought about this today when I saw it go across my phone. I saw Baker Mazzara ended up transferring to USC. Was there any interest in those two perhaps coming back together again?
I'm sure there's interest because they love him as a player and they know what he can do on the floor. He's just a winner. He's won 120 something games in college. It's, again, the sixth year, a lot of experience, a lot of big game experience, can play multiple positions. Great, great passer. I think his passing, people just forget about how good of a passer he was. And it was on display in the Final Four, but I think he's just kind of priced out of the market.
Yeah.
He was at Auburn, and I think they kind of had a deal in principle, and it kind of fell apart. And my understanding is he probably doubled the money. So you can start doing the math on how much he's getting.
Yikes.
I don't necessarily blame those kids. Same with Nick Boyd. If you're not a surefire NBA guy, or you may be too old for the NBA, and this is your best earning year of basketball. You can go to Europe, but you're not making $2 or $3 million in Europe. You're just not. And you could probably make as much in 1 year of college than you might make in your entire pro career combined. And so for these kids to want to go out and grab it, it's hard to blame them. But I think that's probably a little bit of the case of what's going on here.
Mark Ziegler is our guest, and San Diego State basketball, it's not the season, but it's always the season now with the transfer portal and everything and the recruiting. And Mark, talking about what you just mentioned, I mean, the kind of earning power and the money that some of these guys can make, how did the Aztecs end up getting LZ Harrington and a four-star recruit and, CIF state title, St. John Bosco? It sounds like a great feather in their cap as far as what the talent might be. Why would he choose here and not elsewhere where maybe he makes more money? I hate to put it in those terms, but it seems like that crosses my mind now.
Well, St. State's done a really good job of understanding we have money, but we don't have as much money as other people do. So we've got to find guys that want to be here because they want to be here, not because they want to be here because of what we're paying them. And they firmly believe that's how you win. And they have won with those kind of guys. Reese Waters is one. And who doesn't really, money isn't an issue. And partly because, to be honest, his family isn't in that kind of economic situation where there's a desperation to get money. LZ Harrington, same thing. I mean, his parents are both doctors. I'm sure they're pretty well to do, Barack Obama is a family friend. I mean, he told me, he goes, look, I've been exposed to a lot of very, very successful people in life. And I'm not just talking about basketball. I'm in basketball, and LeBron James is his club coach, and Bryce James is one of his friends. And so this is a guy who is a little bit more mature and sees a bigger picture. And, his dad is really ill. He's been very open about that. He's interested in relationships. I mean, he kept saying the word relationships to me when I talked to him, and that's something San Diego State excels in. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, Brian Dutcher is a very likable coach. His players love playing for him. The coaching staff is very veteran. They're very mature. They're not a bunch of, obviously you have a Greco Rope, but you have a lot of guys who've been in coaching for a long time. They're parents. All of them are parents. With young kids, they understand what it is to be a parent. And so I think the kids that appeals to are the kind of kids they're getting. And LZ Harrington 100% falls into that bucket. He was not looking for a payday. He was looking for a home. And he he even said to me, he goes, you know, I picked USC when I decommitted from Harvard initially just because it was close. My dad was sick. I considered San Diego State, but I never went and visited it. That was my mistake. And this, when I reopened my recruitment, it allowed me to come visit some of the places that I didn't visit before. And those relationships were still open with the coaches. They were happy for him just wherever he chose. And when it opened up again, the relationships were there, and he came down to visit and just fell in love with it. And yeah, huge feather. I mean, this guy, I think, has an enormous upside, 6'6", point guard, great floor vision, and just a hard worker, and I think he's going to fit in perfectly.
Mark Leagues joins us here, San Diego Union-Tribune. And Mark, one of the last times I think I got to speak to you was right after the Aztecs lost in the tournament, and we were talking, and you know, we were seeing how the dynamic was changing and how difficult it was going to be for a school like San Diego State to maintain the type of success. But, you know, kind of listening to this conversation today, it does seem like there's still some hope out there. Are there enough kids out there, you think, that are interested in those type of things, like relationships? Because I don't know that San Diego State's ever going to be able to bring in the type of dollars that some of these other schools, you know, that have a really good basketball program bring in. So are there enough kids like that to maintain this program, you know, continuing to play at the level that they play at?
It's a great question, and I think the answer is we don't know. I mean, they've been able to find them so far, but if so many things have to match up, they've got to be a kid with that kind of perspective. Maybe a kid that you know isn't desperate for money for various reasons, for family reasons. The kid who's interested in relationships and development and all the things the San Diego State can offer. But you know, to be honest, they've got to have some money, and that's where the Mace Foundation has done an incredible job getting enough money for that, for them to think about, okay, I'll take a little bit less, but here's all the other bonuses I get, as opposed to, yeah, there's a lot of pluses here, but I got to have at least this much, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that expands the pool a little bit, if that makes sense, to have some money. But, you know, what they did this year was incredible. When you look around the country and how many programs are just rebuilding from scratch, even in town. I mean, UCSD and USD are just having to do major overhauls. But again, it's going to be a year-to-year thing. You look ahead to next year, okay, they're going to lose some seniors and lose some key pieces. Can they keep enough to keep it rolling next year? And, you know, how much money they're going to need next year just to be in that conversation. And it just, the one thing I've learned from all this, it's so dynamic. It changes almost week to week. And you just can't project out. I think that's what the staff's done a good job, just saying, look, let's just be really good this year, and then we'll figure out next year.
Before you go, Mark, I wanted to ask you, a couple minutes left. Always had, you know, great stuff, and I feel totally up to date now on the Aztecs. I'm watching Jaden McDaniels in this series for Minnesota against the Lakers. He is really good, right? The Aztecs had his brother, Jalen McDaniels, who was the higher accredited player, if I'm not mistaken, back in college. He's kind of in the G League, back and forth of the NBA. Did the Aztecs ever come close to getting Jaden to play with Jalen? And how did all that
It's a great question.
What do you remember? You know, if you don't remember any of it.
I do. So Jaden was the higher ranked. Jaden, who's in the NBA. He was a five-star top 25 player. The parents love San Diego State because Jalen was a little bit, you know, under the radar, later developing, similar body type, long, athletic, and they just loved the way they developed Jalen. And they really wanted Jaden to consider San Diego State. San Diego State was in the mix to the end. The issue was he was young, and, you know, do you want to take a really talented guy who's five stars, who doesn't know how to play defense yet, and have him for 1 year and then lose him? And you look at all the pain that they went through last year with some of the freshmen, right? It's a sophisticated, complex, a lot of reads in their defensive system, and they made some mistakes. They made a lot of mistakes. They had to dumb down a lot of stuff. And the thing was, well, but next year they'll know everything and they'll be a lot better. Well, you knew that with Jaden. He was probably gone, and you wouldn't get that second year.
Yeah.
And what they decided, and this was Brian Dutcher making a decision, they went and got a fifth-year guy who sat on the bench instead. And a lot of people raised their eyebrows and going, what is Dutch doing? Well, that player was Yanni Wetzel, and they went 30-2. And remember, in that season, Nathan Mensah was wiped out for the second half of the season, and then Yanni was really the only big, and he had a major role. He set all the ball screens for Malachi Flynn. He had some monster games that bailed him out of some tough spots, and he had experience. And so that's what they figured. If we're only going to have a guy for 1 year, let's get the experienced guy. And so that's – it didn't really turn him down. He ended up going to Washington. He's from Seattle, right. Jaden did. But it was an interesting dynamic, and man, it worked out well for the Aztecs.
Yeah, interesting.
No doubt about it. Well, as always, Mark, love catching up with you, my man, and we'll do it again here soon.
Thanks so much, Mark, for everything.
Yep, my pleasure. We'll talk to you guys.
See Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, always getting us right when it comes to the Aztecs.
Yeah, every time I watch this Jaden McDaniels, I'm like, I thought we kind of almost had him. I wasn't sure.
I remember talking to Mark on this show about Jaden. He didn't end up... He didn't end up coming here for the reasons Zig just kind of gave us, but he was one and done at Washington, and
he is good.
He's one of those players that's done all his developing in the NBA,
right?
Like he didn't.
He's really good now,
and he is, man.
Yeah.
You know the thing that stands out to me more than anything else about Jalen Daniels, he does not get tired. I haven't seen him huffing. He guards the best player on every team, and I never see his chest. Like breathing, like it's searching for air.
It's kind of annoying. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
It is annoying. It's definitely annoying. Let's get to break. 4 o'clock hour on the way. More Gwen and Chris.
Chris versus the fan.
I couldn't get it out, but that's next. More Gwen and Chris.